gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Supreme Court of the United States. So today, non-hearing session is recorded for 3 minutes. Recording here, please stand in the main line and exit the court for the record of the judges. Your seat on the left, and the left gate to your right. Seat in the center, to my right, is up to the right side. Please alert one of the police officers if you observe any suspicion. In the event of emergency, you can make a call, follow directions.
The Honorable, the Chief Justice and the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Oyez, 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 all persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of the United States, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Justice Sotomayor has the opinion of the court this morning in case 23-1007, Cunningham versus Cornell University.
Regrettably, for most of you who are here today, this won't be the most engaging of cases. Section 1106 of the Employment Retirement Income Security Act, now you know why, better known as ERISA, prohibits fiduciaries who manage retirement plans from causing the plan to enter into certain transactions with parties in interest. A separate provision, Section 1108B2A, exempts from 1106 prohibitions any transaction that involves contracting or making reasonable arrangements with a party in interest for services necessary for the establishment or operation of the plan, if no more than reasonable compensation is paid thereof. The petitioners in this case represent a class of current and former Cornell University employees who participated in ERISA retirement plans from 2010 to 2016. In 2017, they sued respondent Cornell and other plan fiduciaries for allegedly causing the plan to engage in prohibited transactions for record-keeping services in violation of 1106. The district court dismissed this claim, and the Second Circuit affirmed that a court of appeals reasoned that 1108B2A's exemption is incorporated into 1106's prohibition, requiring plaintiffs to plead that a transaction prohibited under 1106 was also unnecessary or involved unreasonable compensation to survive a motion to dismiss. The court disagrees and therefore reverses the decision below. Section 1108 sets out affirmative defenses, so it is defendant fiduciaries who bear the burden to plead and prove that an exemption applies. Section 1106A contains, 1C, contains just three elements. It prohibits fiduciaries from causing a plan to engage in a transaction, that the fiduciary knows or should know constitutes a direct or indirect furnishing of goods, services, or facilities, and three, between the plan and a party in interest. Accordingly, to state a claim under 1106, a plaintiff need only plausibly allege those three elements. The exemptions to Section 1106's prohibited transactions, which Congress placed in the separate statutory provision of Section 1108, do not impose additional pleading requirements. This court has previously held that when a statute has exemptions laid out apart from the prohibitions, and the exemptions expressly refer to the prohibited conduct as such, the exemptions constitute affirmative defenses that are entirely responsible of the party raising them. Here, Congress structured the 1108 exemptions in the orthodox format of an affirmative defense. ERISA's structure confirms that 1108 exemptions are affirmative defenses. There are 21 exemptions enumerated in 1108, and the Secretary of Labor has promulgated hundreds of regulatory exemptions pursuant to Section 1108. Several of the exemptions turn on facts one would expect to be in a fiduciary's possession. It would therefore contravene basic notions of fairness to require plaintiffs to prove and disprove myriad exemptions before knowing which of them a defendant will seek to invoke. Respondents, for their part, raise serious concerns that future ERISA plaintiffs may bring meritless suits if they can state a claim by pleading only the elements contained within an 1106 provision. Those concerns, however, cannot overcome the statutory text and structure. Moreover, district courts have various tools at their disposal to screen out meritless claims, including requiring plaintiffs to file a reply to an answer addressing a claimed exemption under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 7A. They can limit discovery, impose Rule 11 sanctions, and order cost-shifting under ERISA. For these and other reasons set forth in the opinion, the Court reverses the judgment of the Second Circuit and remands for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. The decision of the Court is unanimous. Justice Alito has filed a concurring opinion in which Justices Thomas and Kavanaugh have joined.
Mr. Clerk, the Court will entertain motions for admission to the bar of the Court.
David Brown.
Mr. Brown.
I move the admission of James Anthony Gilmore of the Bar of the District of Columbia. I am satisfied he possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and Mr. Gilmore will be admitted.
Joshua Lee.
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of Robert Benton Love of the Bar of the State of New York. I am satisfied he possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and Mr. Love will be admitted.
Mary Penrose.
Ms. Penrose.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of Charles Edward Andrew Lincoln IV of the Bar of the State of Texas. I am satisfied he possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and Mr. Lincoln will be admitted.
A group of attorneys from the Texas A&M University School of Law, presented by Dean Robert Adie.
Mr. Adie.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of the following attorneys from the Bar of Texas: Neil W. Adams, Rosa Maria Berdeja, Sarah Jane Carey, Kayla Danielle Daly, Brent Robert Dore, Amber D. Hamilton Gregg, John Charles Griffin, Caroline Kathleen Harrison, William Robert Korb Jr., Hisham Amer Masri, Todd A. Murray, Hua Twit Wen. I'm satisfied that each possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and the applicants will be admitted.
A group of attorneys from the St. John's University School of Law Alumni Association, presented by Claire McKeever.
Ms. McKeever.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I move the admission of the following attorneys from the state of Louisiana: Dean Jelani Faiza, Jefferson Exum. From the state of New Jersey, Kelly Terrell Hutchins. From the state of New York, Kalichi Ajoko, Samantha Scarlett Alisi, Christopher Atley Arcidio, Stephanie Victoria Barbaro, Catherine Ann Brienza, Jasmine Lorraine Brown, Barbara Berger, Allison Marie Kabitabu, Amanda Mary Carter, Chantel Marie Castro, Olivia Chung, Ruben Joseph Coriat, Charlene Noelisi Desla, Ryan Patrick Dolan, Dina Alisa Douglas, Janine Darcel Edwards, Maria Alejandra Gomez, Bryant Joshua Gordon, James Daniel Hirschlein, Makusa Bintu Ibadu, Janelle Akina James, Kristen Lee, Precious Lewis, Lawrence Mann, Audrey Leticia Mondalo, Ellen Renew Messina, Shandy Abraham Matthew, Kimberly Alicia McFarlane, Eric Theodore Morell, Christina Marie Wiegand, Moya Millie Novella, Samantha Mornicki Ojo, Queenie Arland Paniagua, Jonathan Peter Prevalis, Jonathan Scott Sack, Tahisha M. Samuel, Robert John Sane, Jenny Jacqueline Sherman, Chanel F. Smith, Nathaniel R. Torres, Olivia Morgan Torgi, and Bridget Velez. I am satisfied that each possesses the necessary qualifications.
Your motion is granted, and the applicants will be admitted. If all of the applicants will stand, the clerk will administer the oath. But before he does so, I would like to extend to each of you a warm welcome as a member of the bar of this court and an officer of the court.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that as an attorney and as a counselor of this court, you will conduct yourself uprightly and according to law, and that you will support the Constitution of the United States, so help you God?
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until Monday at 10 o'clock.